with a big stare like Stone Cold with a few beers. Play the game, I end the game, I'm champion, I'm Triple H. Undertaker, I'm your maker, bury the brother like Kane. Ooh, 1-3, hit the tombstone, hit the choke slam on face. Ooh, yeah, like a macho heel, tell like I'm Tommaso. If you suck with like tomatoes, I'ma keep a couple muddles. Ooh, and you may call me HBK. When I'm tuning up the fame, you best be getting in my way. Ooh, yeah, I'm degenerate, I love it, yes, I love it. If you wait, done with that, then I got two words for you, suck it. Too sweet, too sweet.
Welcome to Australia's longest running wrestling podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm your host, Todd Eastman. Thank you very much for joining us today. Didn't know if we'd get one out this week, but because my schedule and my guest schedule was a bit hectic, but we did get together. And before I do get started, this is, if you notice on the time, it is a bit of a short episode, this one. And that's only because, well, the Australian internet is the shits, to be perfectly honest with you. And we could have kept going, but just the choppiness, and it was really starting to get to me. And I want this show to be the best listening and viewing pleasure that I possibly can have for you guys. And the way it was just, it wasn't the best. So I cut it off when we did. And what we're going to do is we're going to sit down later on for more of a long form discussion and catch up more with my guest this week, Matt Hayter. And Matt Hayter is... Well, at the moment, he really does have Adelaide Wrestling, at least, in the palm of his hand. He's the current ACW champion and also the number one contender to the Riot City Wrestling Championship after just winning the Riot City Rumble this past weekend. So we caught up and talked about all that stuff, and I've known him for a few years now, so we talk about, we basically just catch up and that sort of stuff. But before we do that, every now and then I do a little bit of an editorial where I talk about feelings of what's going on with wrestling nowadays. And I just thought I'd talk today about how lately I've heard from different places when talking about the heel face dynamic, how nowadays apparently the thing is shades of gray. There's no real line defining between the two, and the fans decide which is which. See, here's my problem with that. Have you ever seen, the best way of illustrating my feelings, so this is showing you what shades of gray look like. See, this is shades of gray. See, what does it evoke? What do you feel? They're boring. The shades of gray are boring. I feel as performers, we should be telling the story. Yes, we should 100% be listening to the crowd for reactions, but we should be guiding those reactions they're giving us. Wrestling is a business of emotion, and eliciting these emotions is our job. I feel like the whole shades of gray thing is a detriment to this. Heels should, at every point, be aiming to be disliked so much so that the fans have no choice but to get behind the heel. You want to be a cool heel? Why? Because you like being cheered? Then you're a face. Well, you want to be a face, so be a face. Apathy never sold tickets. Actual heels versus actual faces make actual emotions and create a need for people to want to see their comeuppance, and that need sells tickets. Now, I think I know nowadays that everyone wants to sort of say, oh, well, this is modern wrestling now, and this is why we're not getting as much emotion out of the crowd. It's not because they think that, well, they know that it is what it is nowadays. It's not that at all. You can have all the spots and all of that stuff that you need. If you have real emotion in a match, or can convey real emotion in a match, the fans, the crowd will buy into that. But they won't buy into that when half of the crowd likes half of the person and half the crowd likes the other half of the person, the other person. They just want, you need to create that need to see the bad guy get his comeuppance. It's like a movie. You need to create that need for the Avengers to beat Thanos. That's my best way of describing it. Now, I don't mind as much as I try. Like people say, I put my Cornette hat on and I want wrestling to be wrestling. I just want good stories to be told. And I find a better story is told when it's an actual heel against an actual face. Anyway, that's it for this Views from the East. My name's Todd Eastman. It's my opinion. And you're entitled to it. And we'll be right back after this with Matt Hayter here on Wrestle Radio Australia. I am joined today by, I think he's the number one contender now for the RCW Championship and also the ACW Champion, Matt Hayter. How are you tonight, mate?
Hello, Mr. Todd Eastman. How are you?
I'm good, mate. Jeez, it's been, what, nearly 2 years now since we've actually seen each other?
I was trying to think about it last night. At least 2.5, I think.
Because you sort of wipe out last year. I don't even think of it as a year, really, because it's just... I was like, normally I probably would have seen you like one or two times during that year, either you up here or me down there. But yeah,
yeah, it's been crazy.
Well, you've had the best. Well, you being that you're based in Adelaide, you sort of, I wouldn't say got away with it lightly, but really got sort of caught the edge of COVID. Because how many months out were the shows for you guys? Like, did shows stop?
I think it was 3 or 4, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was like 3 or 4, where everything was pretty much closed, and it was like staying at home all day, doing home workouts, bumping in the backyard, just trying to keep something, like trying to keep myself sane to do something. But yeah, not having shows was very, very weird, especially being for me, who's wrestled probably about 8 years straight. Every weekend or every second weekend. So it was very, very weird.
Yeah, and you were one of more of the active guys in the Adelaide scene, because you'd work PWSA, you'd work RCW, you'd work ACW. So, I mean, you really would have been busy pretty much every weekend, just a dead stop.
Yeah, it was really, really weird, because I've never had, like, big break like that, even with like injuries and stuff, I'd still show up and do at least something. But that's the biggest break I've ever had in my 8.5 years of wrestling.
And you just come off, like, 2019 was sort of a really good year for you, especially in, like, you'd sort of moved your base to RCW, you'd started going through the card there, and you're a tag team champion with my old mate Chris Basso, and then all of this sort of hit. It's it must have been like sort of a reset button for this year, sort of like just sort of want to hope that the momentum you'd built from the year before had carried through to this year.
Yeah, it was weird because this year started off with like on the tag titles, and we were going up, and then we had the Fringe show with Life, and then everything just stopped. And it was just like, it was very like self-check for myself, like, how bad do I really, really want this, and how much work am I going to put in when it's just me by myself?
Because you'd
it sucked, but we're back now.
Yeah, because you'd gone through really a large transformation just in your physical shape over those last couple of years. Was it really important to you to sort of like try and maintain that shape? Because I know from personal experience, you let off for a couple of months and it's a hard road to get back onto it.
Yeah, like last time I saw you, I was doing the transition into like really grinding with my fitness. It wasn't just like something I did. It became part of my lifestyle. And I took a real one skinny fat dude. So I treated lockdown as like, all right, let's see what we can do with the rig with what time we've got. And didn't really have any like gym equipment or anything like that. It was just playing the card game every day, doing all the cardio in the world. And then, yeah, now I've got a somewhat good rig that I'm happy with. I finally got abs. So everyone likes to make jokes. If you talk to Rocky about it, he says I'm too skinny now. But yeah, like I'm in a place where I finally feel that if a person came to a wrestling show and they saw me, they're like, oh, that dude, he definitely works out. He does all the right things. So yeah.
And you've moved really from what I know anyway, the majority of your career, you were pretty much a heel the whole way through because you've got that good knack of just getting on people's nerves. It's probably what I love most about you. How hard has it been sort of doing the switch now where you're a baby face and you sort of don't sort of turn that to the crowd so much as turn that to the people you're working?
It's weird. Like I've been the good guy a handful of times, but a good majority of my career, I have been the bad guy. And then coming into RCW, it's sort of nothing really major happened that made me become the face good guy. I wrestled Cree the second time, and after the match, I got a response from the crowd that I've never really had before. I was just sort of watch your back, and you can hear there's people cheering for me and there's people cheering for him. It's very 50-50. But during the match, I didn't realize that. And then after the match, there was a real cool moment where I pulled myself up and everyone was clapping and cheering. And that's sort of the moment that I went, oh, all right, maybe I've done something different here. So I'm still that cheeky little shit that you love, but it's more so, it's not aimed at the fans. It's more aimed at who I'm wrestling.
I think you bring out more merch like t-shirt wise than any other worker I know. Is it just a matter of just keeping it fresh, or just there we go because I popped huge for the Only Egos popped huge.
Yeah, I like to bring a whole collection out every 3 to 4 months. I like to freshen it up. I don't really have a trouble moving around merch, which I know a lot of wrestlers do, but I guess I'm just very lucky and fortunate that people like me and like to rep my stuff.
And how's it been? Like, I noticed that the shows for RCW have been selling out pretty damn quickly every time that the notice. Is it the fact that is you can sort of market yourself on now, is that there is limited tickets, you guys need to get in quick or you're going to miss out? Is that sort of like almost an advantage nowadays?
I think so, because like majority of the time people would be like, oh, wrestling's on this weekend, maybe I'll go. But now at the moment with the current climate, it's like you've got to decide if you want to go or not, because this ticket's going to be gone like that. And then you can tell all the boys that, like, we're selling out, so you should definitely take advantage of this and bring out some new merch that people are going to want to buy. Like, the experience of getting to go out and see some entertainment is very rare, especially in the past year and a half, because of everything just went to crap. So people will come and they'll be like, I want to remember this, I'm going to buy that and that.
Yeah. And you've only just, like, you did a double header this past weekend with the Rumble, and I always call it just Key to the City, but what was it called this year?
So we had the Rumble, and then we had Reanimated.
That was the show, there we go,
the second one, but we had Key to the City as the main event of that.
Yeah. And what was that like going back to sort of like the same venue? Because I remember back in the day when I first started, we used to do, at the Estonian, we used to do the Strength Cup over a Friday and Saturday night, like a two-night thing. How much fun is that? The sort of like, you don't have to pack down the ring after the first night.
That's one of the blessings of like running the shows at the gym at the moment. There's no real like ring crew. It's been great. If you ask anyone, everyone will tell you Matt Hayter doesn't help out with ring crew, but my job title for ring crew is overseer. I'm like the job supervisor. I make sure everyone's doing their jobs.
Okay, so was that like self-appointed or just...
Look, Matty's around not to yell at me, so we're good. I gotta slip into the shadows, play my role.
I see. Because I think that was Rocky's role for a while.
Oh, look, like father, like son, I guess.
Oh, Jesus. It's hard now. Like, normally I'd say, do you have plans to sort of like go into state and any of that? But you just don't know what, how do you go about even thinking about that? Or are you not even thinking about that at the moment? Sort of just like focusing on working AC dub and working RC dub?
Yeah, I haven't really thought about traveling that much. Like, I've talked to Cree, who's injured at the moment, but I've talked to him and I said, when you come back, if the chance arrives, do you want to take world-class egos around? And he said, yeah, 100%. But at the moment, just by myself, like, I've got enough on my plate in Adelaide to satisfy myself. By all means, I would travel if it was an option, and it is, but I'm not really seeking it. Like, I've got enough going on over the next few months that I'm pretty content with just being in Adelaide.
Mm. And so what's it like now? Sort of like about 2 years ago when I talked to you, you were very much up in the air about making the leap from sort of like PWSA to RCW, that sort of thing. And now 2 years later, what's it like now? Is it what you sort of expected, or is it sort of exceeded where you thought you would be?
It's weird. Like, I never expected to be where I am this quickly, or what has happened over my course in RCW as quick as it has. It's actually funny, on Instagram, gave me a reminder that 2 years ago it was like my last official match in PWSA. And now I'm the number one contender at RCW to face Rocky. So it's very weird. Like, I had people like yourself telling me, go over there, you'd really do well. And then it finally happened, and I didn't realize how all this could happen. I'm very lucky that a lot of people have put a lot of trust in me. And I like to think I've delivered on most things and helped out with most things. So, yeah.
Mm. I must say I'm quite happy, because the week, and it's been the only time I've been to Adelaide for, well, geez, a long time, was the night that you debuted, or the week that you debuted on RC Dub was the one show that I come to see at HQ. And I remember I was at training and Cree pulled me and Zach aside and said, I'm thinking about debuting Hayter this weekend. What do you think? And I was like, do it. You're not going to regret it. He's fine. He's good. You'll be happy. He goes, all right, okay, fine. I'll do it. Done. Booked. So I was so very happy to actually see your debut at that place, especially at HQ. And it's such a shame now that place is no more. I know that they've got some real good things on the horizon at RC Dub this coming year, all things holding out. How much of a blow was it that HQ closed down? Because it was nothing to do with you guys. It was just the business folded.
Yeah, to me, it was heartbreaking because I loved that venue. Like, as you would know, it was just like so cool. Just visually, everything looked great. It felt like a really big wrestling show. Mm. Like, it felt like we were in the indies in America, where they're all making thousands of dollars every weekend and all that. Ring crew sucked, but the venue was great. Yeah, and debuting in front of that crowd in that environment, like, it was rad. And having like guys like yourself there, Zach, like everyone that I've known for a very long time, watching it and just like the pure happiness and joy that we all shared together over it was rad. Even though I kicked Zach's manager in the face, it was still pretty cool.
I must admit, I had a little bit
biggest
of
popping up.
I had a bit of a proud dad moment, so I was quite happy. I would get, because with HQ, I remember getting back to here and messaging Jake straight away and said, you need to decide to fucking travel, because we need to go down and do an HQ show, because it's beyond anything that you can see. And it's going to be hard now when you guys go back to bigger venues to not be able to, because you just won't have that production around that HQ has. It's going to be so hard to sort of to lift the level to that presentation, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree with that. It's going to be, I wouldn't say hard. I just say it's going to be different, where like you go to a Latvian hall and it's like your typical wrestling show. There's big curtains and an entranceway where you'd go to HQ and there was LED boards and it was just like WrestleMania. And yeah. then we go to the where it's a giant circus top and it's just like the coolest thing in the world. It's just, you're going to make do with what you've got. And the team that we have at RC Dub really do understand that, and they really do work hard and they make the best out of everything.
Mm. And that you mentioned the fridge before. This year, because last year's was so successful, you're doing two nights now at the Fringe. That's got to be something that you never thought was possible a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it was. Last year's show was so cool. Like, that whole day was one of the best days of my life because it was just everything I wanted. And then later in that night, I got to do a different Fringe show because I was working there for a burlesque show, which in Coteau was with the wrestling too. But it was just such a cool day. Like, the experience itself, I'll hold forever. And the fact that we get to do it again two times is awesome.
Mm. Yeah, you mentioned you're in a burlesque. How did that come about? Because I saw all the photos. I'm like, first of all, I'm like, what is Hayter doing now? Oh, shit. how did it come about?
So the girl that runs Immoral Combat messaged me the night after the Rumble last year, I think it was. And she said, oh, I was really impressed with your character presence, who you are, what you're about and all this. I'm running this show. And I'm like, oh, sounds like a bit of fun. Might as well. All started rolling. And then I got myself into a strip show. And then I came this close to winning. This close. And I got cheated by Pixie Piper. Cheated. Mm. But there's always, I think there's four shows this year. So I'll be involved in them again.
Oh, hopefully. Yeah. Yeah, because like, that makes now you and the Pariah have been in the Fringe shows as well outside of the wrestling.
Yeah.
It's really good to see guys from the roster sort of branching out into other areas of entertainment, because if anything, it just helps bring more eyes onto the product at home.
Yeah. There's not a lot of things I agree with them boys inside the ring, but outside of the ring, when it comes to like Fringe and performance and just experiencing different things, I'm glad that we get to do that. It's really awesome. Like, I remember last year, I had a little chat about Eros, about how was his shows and how was everything going over there. And he's like, yeah, it's rad. And then they got to travel around the world with it. So maybe I'll get to travel around the world stripping. Who knows?
So is it like legit stripping, or what's the deal? You have to explain this to me.
I mean, I got completely naked. Last year.
Yeah, well, let's
but yeah, there's eight competitors. It's, you can go as wild as you want. And yeah, it was just a lot of fun. There was a lot of people from wrestling in the crowd, so that was cool. And it was something that was like in my comfort zone but out of my comfort zone at the same time. It's completely improvised. You don't know who you're versing when you go out there. They just call your name out and then you go out. And then from there, you just do whatever you can.
So it's like a dance-off?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's amazing.
And you're dressed up in costumes and stuff. It's rad. It's really, really cool. So anyone from Adelaide, I highly recommend coming see it at the Fringe.
Hmm. So on your list of goals at the moment, how high is the RCW Championship? Because, I mean, you've been holding the ACW Championship now for a fair while.
Year and a couple of months now.
Yeah. So what would it mean to sort of, if you could, hold both of those titles at the same time?
Well, I've been trying to think about it. Like, in my time of wrestling, no one in Adelaide has held two of the main belts in two different companies at the same time. So I think that'd be pretty rad. But yeah, the RCW title is definitely top of the list.
So Rocky's really helped. Sort of COVID really helped Rocky's title reign. So
if you ask him, it wouldn't have mattered.
No, of course not. But that's got to be sort of like, especially getting a chance to work someone like Rocky, who, let's face it, is pretty much a legend in, not in just like South Australian wrestling, but a legend in Australian wrestling. From where you started in PWSA, did you really think that one day that you'd be like working a main event show, possibly sold out against someone like Rocky Monero?
Truthfully, I always wanted it. That's probably my ego fighting at it. But realistically, over the years, I was like, at PWSA, I was like, all right, I'm a big fish in a small pond. This is good. And then I came over to RCW and I'm like, oh, this is a completely different ballgame. If you asked me this time last year, would I be main eventing with Rocky? I would have probably said, probably not. But now we're here. So, yeah.
Because you were in PWSA for a long time, and I remember there was one point thinking, I was just thinking, he's not going to do it because he's just comfortable. Where he's just comfortable. What really pushed you to finally make the leap? Was it a thing where, like, I just need to test myself to see where I really am, or was it just a I've sort of outgrown this. I need something new.
I think more so the second, and a bit of the first. Like, it hit a point where I wrestled everyone, I've done everything, and I was never going to get my goal wrestling at PWSA. I was never going to get my the goal that I'm trying to chase, like, within wrestling. I was never going to get that if I just stayed there. I would never get the opportunities that I got at PWSA. But at the same time, it gave me a wealth of experience that I have over a lot of people, which I cherish so much. But yeah, it hit a point where I saw people like Zach come over, Mickey come over. A lot of my friends just started spanning off everywhere else. And it was like, all right, they're succeeding. I guess it's my turn now. I've done everything. So, yeah.
Especially when you would have had Zach just going, you need to come over, mate. You need to, if you want to improve, you need to grow. You need to, like, I used to be the biggest proponent of, when I was in RCW, I was like, I don't want to work for anyone else in Adelaide because I was just brand loyal. That's just what I was. And I think it took me moving up to Queensland to go, no, well, hang on, you can learn more by working different crowds.
Yeah, it got to the point at PWSA where I was heavily involved in training and backstage stuff. And then it got to the point where I said that I can't keep putting other people's wants and needs before my own, which is selfish. But at the same time, like, you've got to have that self-check that you need to do what's right for you. And now I'm at RCW. I'm extremely happy. I'm very grateful for the opportunities I get. And then I see a lot of, like, a lot of the newer guys, a lot of the younger guys, which are older than me, wrestling everywhere in Adelaide. And it's rad because for the longest time, it was only myself and, like, Havoc that was wrestling everywhere.
Yeah.
And now you look at Doe and it's like, you see RCW guys everywhere. You see, like, PWSA guys everywhere, ACW guys everywhere. It's so cool to see.
Yeah, it's... like I said, it's a thing where, like, if you can work together, but not so much together as, like, you're sharing storylines or anything, but together enough where you can share talent and sort of refresh guys by having them go somewhere for a little while and then come back and that sort of thing. That all that can do is strengthen the community as a whole down there.
Yeah, and another thing that I hammer into a lot of people, like, recently I was talking to Big Bill Redshaw about just wrestling everywhere and doing everything you can, especially when you're very, very new to the business. Just try it, because then you're going to remember it for later on when you have a different you have that opportunity.
Yeah, well, you started out as a babe. Like, when did you start? Like, how old were you when you actually started?
I think I started training, I was either 14 or 15, I think it was. So I was very young.
Yeah, because you're still relatively very young. in the business. So you've got like years of top shelf time in front of you. So really, if anything, this sort of like rest that we had over last year probably did the world of good to you, because you sort of like renewed your bump car a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, especially for someone who you're watching, you're like, oh, come on, you're still young. What are you doing? It was good. It was good to have a rest for a bit.
Look, man, I hate to cut this short because I'm having a great convo with you, but the internet is terrible, and I apologize. It's Australian internet. Can't really help it.
It's the worst.
But I know the Riot City Rumble is up on YouTube now as we speak. I think it's being premiered now as we're recording it. So anyone who wants to go and check that out, please do. RCW, Riot City Wrestling YouTube, go and check that out. For everybody who wants to follow Matt Hayter and get his merch, where can they do that, mate?
Ooh, so Facebook, just type up at Matt Hayter. You'll come up. You'll see this pretty face. Be nice and easy. Instagram, I think it's at the real Matt Hayter, and same with Twitter. I think so.
Okay. Like I said, man, I'm really sorry. Like, Australian internet, I can't really help it. But it is great to catch up with you. Like I said, I haven't seen you for 2 years. I need to do this. We'll do this again.
I know.
Hopefully under better circumstances. Hopefully either like this again or in person. So, because I know that I'm in trouble with my family at home, and I have to get back to Adelaide sometime. So, when I
hey, come over. You never know when world class egos might need a bit of Todd Eastman with them.
Well, you know, I need to get back on a show, so at least I can retire from RC. I'm semi retired at the moment, so if I can actually just retire as my last show being an RC Dub show, I'll be quite happy.
Hey, I'll kiss Cree, I'll kiss you. Everyone will be happy. Big Pops, go to the merch table, sell out, be a great night.
Matt Hayter, thank you so much for joining me, mate.
Anything for you, Pops.
Once again, big thanks to my guest, Matt Hayter. Like I said, I will get him on as soon as I can again for a bit of a more long form conversation because, Australian internet's the shits. That's all I'm going to say about that. But if you haven't already, guys, make sure you subscribe to WRA. It's free. You can do it on iTunes, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcast from, we're out there. If you do stop by iTunes, give us a rating and review while you're there. Give us a 5-star, helps us get inside more ears and share the show and spread the word about professional wrestling in this country. On YouTube, subscribe to our channel and you'll catch everything that's coming up for that. Make sure you like us on Facebook. Just search out Wrestle Radio Australia and on Twitter at Wrestle Radio AU or me personally at Beast Eastman for all my hot takes about grumpy old man views in wrestling. please do support the local industry, subscribe to one of the streaming services or support wrestlers themselves. You can go to wrestlermerch.com and check out the stuff there. Plenty of Australian wrestlers now have their stuff up on there. Please go and support them if you can. Our guest this week, Matt Hayter, go and support Riot City Wrestling. Give them a follow. Give them a subscribe on their YouTube channel. They put out their shows, I think it's like 2 or 3 days after the weekend show. So I think the Riot City Rumble was on this past Friday. I think it was out today, which is for me Thursday. So it's just a couple of days. They do have back-to-back nights this week. So hopefully we'll get another one in a couple of days as well. So you'll have two lots of Riot City Wrestling you can watch very, very soon on the YouTube channel. Please go and check them out. if you want to support us, look, I don't really get any money from anything I have on Redbubble. All the money that I have on redbubble.com, there's some Wrestle Radio Australia shirts and whatnot on there. All the money that is made from that go to Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life, two charities that I very much support. And like they're across there. Gotcha for Life goes out and they help teach men and women now that it's at a young age and it's growing up into adulthood, that it's okay to talk about your feelings. And men's suicide is the number one killer at the moment in men. It's, I think it's like three suicides a week or three deaths a week. I can't remember the stats right now because it is pretty late. I do apologize for that. But it is, you talk about COVID-19 being a pandemic. Male suicide is an epidemic, and we do need to stamp that out just as much as we need to stamp out COVID-19. If you have a local promotion that is up and running, please do go and support it if you can. Mask up if you have to. I don't care. Get out there. Support these guys. They've been on the shelf for nearly a year. It's time to get out there and show them that you support them and that you want to support their dreams in Australian professional wrestling. That is it for me this week. For WrestleRad Australia, we'll be back next week with another interview, hopefully. My name is Todd Eastman. That's my opinion, and you're entitled to it. We'll see you next week. Just be busy, 23, got me feeling way too sweet. Oh, sweet, oh, yeah, yeah. Too sweet, put your fangs up. Too sweet, pour another cup. Just be busy, 23.